And I also have two Bibles. I will be reading out of the New King James and the New Living Translation. Those of you who were here last year remembered me talking about my New Living Translation. It'll be with me till the day I die. It was the Bible that helped me to read through the Bible. In my Christian walk, I was not a reader. Are there some of you here that are like not readers? And so when you read the Bible, it was a little hard to get into. And I was able to pick up this Bible and easily understand it, like Lisa said, with the NIV. So I will be going back and forth, and I'll let you know when I'm reading out of the New King James or the New Living Translation. So good morning. Well, ladies, it has been awesome so far. I don't know how many of you, but I know our group of ladies from Calvary Pico Rivera, we went and stopped at Tom's Farms, and we went to the outlets, and we had so much fun. We bought candies. They're not in our room. They're in our stomach. We just had just such a great time, and just even leading up to getting here, you know, what are you packing? What are you doing? Are you ready? And just excited to be able to spend time with our sisters in the Lord. And not only that, but just to have a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit and just hear from the Lord what he would have for us. And so I really feel that the Lord spoke to my heart deeply about this message. As I was preparing, I do want to warn you, we will be going through a lot of scriptures. So if your hands are cold, they will be warmed up by the time you leave, because we are going to really go through a lot of scriptures. I tried to cut some out, and as I was doing that, I was actually putting more in. So I'm going to try to be able to go through this, but let's go ahead and open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, Father, just to sit at your feet, Father, and hear from you, Father. I just pray, Father, that each and every one of these women's hearts, Father, would be soft and moldable, Father. Worship, Father, was just preparing our heart for that, Father. And I just pray, Father, that we would just put all distractions aside, not worry about our husbands, our kids, our boyfriends, our whatever's waiting for us when we get home, Father, but that we would just be able to do like Lisa said last night and just relax and be at your feet, Father, hearing what you would have for us, Father. May we not just be hearers, but doers of the word, Father. And I just pray, Father, that we would just give this time totally to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to ask you a few questions, but I don't want hands raised. You can just know whether if that was you or not. How many of you bought something new to wear to the retreat? Don't have to raise your hands, but if you raise your hands, it's okay. How many of you got a manicure, pedicure, got your hair dyed, cut, done before you came on the retreat? How many of you shopped right before the retreat to get stuff for the retreat? Okay. How many of you brought makeup to put on and wear at the retreat? Okay. I'm getting to this, that we are really concerned about our appearance and how we look. We like to look nice. We like to be in style. We like to look good, even in front of the girls. My daughter yesterday, she didn't like straighten her hair, and I'm like, you didn't do your hair? She goes, it's just going to be a bunch of girls. And I said, oh, okay, you know. But we're all concerned with the way we look and our appearance and on the outside. But today, as you know, the title of the study is Surrendered Heart. So let's go ahead and turn into our word and see how God sees, what God sees. In 1 Samuel 16:7, it's the last part of the verse. 1 Samuel 16:7. The last part of the verse says, for the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so in this society that we live in, we're so concerned with the outward appearance and how we look, and do we look the right way, and do we, you know, have our makeup on, and is our hair stylish and all that. But sometimes we forget to look at the things that are hidden, the things of our heart. A lot of people, I'm sure you've heard this, a lot of people say, well, I don't maybe go to church and I don't do all the things you do, but you know, God knows my heart. Have you ever heard somebody who said that? Like they live the way they want to. They're doing things right in their own eyes. And they feel okay because they say, well, you know, God knows my heart. Like their heart is precious and beautiful and there's nothing but, you know, lovely things going on in there. And when somebody tells me that, I'm like, yeah, you know, he does see your heart. And you want to know what he says about your heart? Well, let's turn to Jeremiah 17:9 and let's see what God says about our heart. In Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? We have hidden things in our heart that is only between us and the Lord. When we come to a realization of this, a lot of you here have, how many of you have accepted the Lord and are Christians? Can I see you raise your hand? We should be bold about that, right? Okay. So many of you guys came to a point in your life where you said, yes, my heart is wicked and sinful, and I need a Savior. And Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross for our sins, that we didn't have to pay the price, that he paid the price for us. And that sounded good. And we said, you know what? I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to put my trust and my faith in the Lord. And that is good. We make that step. We go. We say, you know, I love you, Lord. I trust in you. And we should say, my life is yours. There should be a surrendering of your heart. And so in this world, there's two people. There's believer and unbeliever. And there should be a difference between those two people. If we turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17, a lot of us like to, I'm talking about just women, mankind in general, like to think that we're pretty much good. And yeah, you know, does it matter whether, you know, now what it doesn't matter if you're Christian, Catholic, Mormon, whatever. We're just, you know, if you have a good heart and that's it, you know. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you come into this relationship with the Lord, now your life should be different. And you come to the Lord because you have all these things wrong, and you're wanting him to now come in and change it. But you wait. When is he going to take this away? And when is he going to take that away? And when is this going to happen? There are some scriptures, a lot that we'll be going through, that are going to be sharing with you that you need to put off things. You need to search your heart. You need to examine your heart, and you need to put off these things. When I looked up the in the scripture, the first scripture we'll be going through, in Ephesians 4:22, it says that we need to put off. When I looked up that word put off, it is a verb. A verb is an action word, right? So we need to do it. We need to not sit and wait to see when is God going to do this. And we're going to be going through scriptures that's going to be showing you what you need to put off, what you need to do. You know, don't wait and say, well, one day we think it's like, you know, he has a magic wand and he's going to tap us and then those things will be gone from our life. And we need to just, you know, go to church and, you know, try to be good. And one of these days, those things will just disappear. Some people it does. I've heard testimonies of people who were, you know, abusing drugs and alcohol, and they came to the Lord and it was gone from them the day. And that is awesome. I mean, don't you wish that could happen with everything that we do that is sinful? It's like you come to the Lord and all those things just are gone and zapped. And that doesn't happen for everybody. And so we struggle with things and sins that we have, but we need to actively put off these things. And one story I wanted to go to, you don't need to turn to it, but I know a lot of you guys have heard of the story of Zacchaeus. And I thought of Zacchaeus. Lord, where's an example out of the Bible where somebody comes to faith in the Lord and boom, they make a change. And so if you remember the story of Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector, and you know how tax collectors were despised and hated. They would rip off the people, they would take more taxes than they should have, and would keep a lot of the money, and therefore they became rich. And so Zacchaeus, it says that he was one of the high up tax collectors, you know. And he climbed up the tree to see Jesus passing along, and Jesus said, "Come out of that tree, Zacchaeus. Today I'm going to go to your house." And so Jesus goes to the house and speaks to the tax collectors and the sinners what he came to this earth to do. And as Zacchaeus heard him, and just in case you want to know, this is in Luke 19, verse 1 through 9. In verse 8, Zacchaeus says, "Lord, everything I have, I'll give half, and I'll repay the people." I don't remember what it has here. Some of you guys might know. I think it's, he says like seven times or something of what I took for them. I'll repay them that seven times. And it just, as you read it, seems like he's excited to do it. Not, okay, you know, I will give half of what I have if that's, you know, what you're asking me to do. It doesn't sound like there's a struggle with Zacchaeus. It sounds like he's glad to do it. It's like, "Lord, you've forgiven so much, and I am just blessed to be able to just give back, to just go forward with this change now in my life. I'm not going to sit on, I'm not going to go home and pray about whether I should do something right. I know that that's what God would have me to do, and do it. If the Bible says you need to put off or you need to do something, you don't need to pray about it, ladies. You need to just do it. And a lot of us like to pray about whether we should do these things that the Bible clearly says to do or to not to do." Okay. Let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians 4:22. And I'm going to read this out of my New Living Translations, Ephesians 4:22 through 32. Okay. It says, "Throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and your attitudes. You must display a new nature because you are a new person, likeness, righteous, holy, and true. So put away all falsehood. Tell your neighbor the truth because we belong to each other. And don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, stop stealing. Begin using your hands for honest work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words can be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He is the one who has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption." So this just goes a little bit further, explaining some of the things that we needed to put off. What are some of the things that we read here in the scriptures that say that we need to get rid of? Deceitful lust. None of us have deceitful lust, right? Deceitful lust. And I'm just going to, you know, we're just going to go through these scriptures. They're very specific. And the Holy Spirit, I pray, will speak to your heart and to what those hidden things of your heart are. Okay, what else do you see in that? Stealing. Anger. We don't get angry either, right? Okay, anger, evil speaking. That is one of the first ones that God dealt with me when I became a believer, is I had a bad mouth. And still it's hard now when I go back to my family's house and even my own grandmother to see bad words come out, you know, and you're just like, oh, you know, that is horrible. That should not be coming out of anybody's mouth. And so that would, I tell you now, if you're one who says, you know, even these slang words, you know, it's just, come on, we know what you're trying to say, you know, and you know what I'm saying, this new way we say the F word is just, to me, come on now, you know, get a new word. We have a big vocabulary. Find a new word. And you don't have to, you have to put off this filthy language. It's not fitting, especially for ladies. But God tells us right here in his words, not my suggestion, to don't use it. You know, if you have to speak and say things, what should it be? It should be good and helpful and encouragement to those who hear them. We don't want to hear all that. Sometimes now when you talk to people, though, they can't even speak. I know my brother. He can't even talk without saying a cuss word in between every word. And you just feel like, do you not know how to converse without speaking a bad word? I don't think he does. I really don't. And so if you struggle with that, and maybe you're not like my brother, but maybe you every so often, really stop there. And, we have to actively, remember, God's not going to get the wand and say, okay, bad words away. We have to actively pursue that and stop and, I'm sorry, and not do that. Not find another word for it. Just get rid of it. Okay. Let's go ahead and go to Colossians 3:8. It says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. Okay. Remember that action word, put off? Who does it say? But now you yourselves are to put off all these. This is your part. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So we used to do these things, but now, the whole baptism, when we go and we're baptized, we're dead with Christ and we rise with the newness, those things, it's kind of like it reminds me of that. Put it off. Those things that we did now are buried and done with, and then up comes this new man and the new way that we should live according to the word. Galatians 5:19. Okay, we're going to hit a lot of areas in here. I'm going to read it from my New Living Translation. Galatians 5:19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your group, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Surrendered heart. We could fool everybody. We can come to church. We can serve. We can, put our Christian sticker on our car, wear our Not of This World t-shirt. We can do it all. But there's things that are going on in our heart that we push and we, nobody sees it, so it's okay, as long as nobody sees it. How many of you guys have read that little book, My Heart, Christ Home? A really good book, really recommend it. Very small, easy reading. But it talks about how when you invite Jesus to come into your heart, there are different sections and different rooms in our heart. And we may say, okay, you could come into that room. You can go in here, but you cannot come in this area. You can't go into that, closet upstairs. There's some stuff I have kind of put away and I'm dealing with it, Lord, but you can't have the key to that closet. So we choose where we're going to allow him to be. Maybe you go to church and you serve and you're, been there for many years and all that, but when you go home, there's a different life. Or when you go to work, you talk one way at work and you do certain things at work, and then when you come home and with your church friends, you know how to switch that real quick. Okay, yeah, I don't say this and I do that, and oh wait, I'm not modest today. I could be immodest with those friends that I hang out with, but then when I go to church, then I cover up and real high and all that. And so we have hidden things in our heart that we need to deal with. God is not fooled by you. He's not fooled with basically being a hypocrite. That's what they would call them back in the days when they would put the mask on, right? You're being two different people, and God is not impressed with that. You're not fooling him. And so I would say we come to a retreat. We want to hear from the Lord. We want to hang out with our friends. We want to eat good food. We want to see this nice scenery. We want to have a nice cup of coffee, and all those things are nice and such a blessing. But I say, you know what? Let's be about our Father's business. Let us get into his word. Let's search out these scriptures, and let's be doers. Let's not stay baby Christians forever. And even if we're not, if we're mature Christians, have been following the Lord for a long time, let's not just, I know that. I don't go to wild parties and I don't cuss and I do that. Well, what about the anger? What about the other things? What about selfish ambition, envy? What about, these other things, quarreling? We may think, it's okay. I get in these arguments with my husband all the time, but that's just how we are. And I usually start them, but that's how we've always been, And we excuse, we justify. And God's not impressed. We need to search those things in our heart, okay? We need to search. We need to examine those things in our heart. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Sometimes we think that we come to the Lord, and at the beginning we examine, we search, we lay it all down. Then we walk in our walk, and we never have to confess sin or never have to do that again. We took care of it, and it's done. But let's see what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Test yourself. If you cannot tell that Jesus Christ among you, it means that you have failed the test." And this is from the New Living Translation. But we are to test ourselves, because what is it that we're supposed to do daily? We're supposed to die daily. And sometimes we die one day and then, go off and then, I need to surrender this. I need to get my heart right before the Lord. But we need to examine. We need to constantly examine. We can't examine once a year at the retreat. We have to, in our devotions, as we're reading the word, "Lord, what do you have for me right there? What am I doing anything that's not honoring you or displeasing you? Am I being obedient?" Sometimes we think that we just, I don't do the wild parties and I don't cuss and I'm not angry and I'm such a submissive wife and I'm an obedient child. I get good grades and this and that. Okay. You don't do this. You don't do that. You don't, I'm single and I'm not out there having sex and I'm really, everything. Okay. But what are you doing? Okay. Maybe there's some of you who say, yeah, I'm dealing with that and I am doing these things and I need to put them off. And maybe some of you, there's another portion of you who say, I have put those things off, but what are you putting on? Okay. And before I forget, since I'm on that in this white Office Depot bag, I made copies for everybody to take. It's front and back, and it's, 75 scriptures that say we are to put off this, and then it gives us another scripture and put on this. So I really want you to go through those sometime at the retreat or when you go home. It's always good to, sometimes you want to get in the Word and you don't know where or what. Max packed with scriptures of just what I'm supposed to put off and not just leave it at that. Now, what am I supposed to put on? Okay. So as we're examining ourselves and examining our heart, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:9, where we should be right close by. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Don't you know that those who do wrong will have no share in the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. those who indulge in sexual sin, who are idol worshippers, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, abusers, swindlers, none of these will share in the kingdom of God. There was a time when some of you were just that way, but now your sins have been washed away and you have been set apart for God. You have been made right with God because of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God, have done for you. Okay? So again, you might have done these things and you might have dabbled in these things, but you should not be in that anymore. You should not be dealing with, God saved us from these things. And so many times when I talk to Christians who are still dabbling in the world in sinful things, it just so grieves my heart, because it's, I didn't write down the scripture, just coming to my heart right now, of where it says that you trample on the blood of Christ. You know, let's not do, we know how precious that blood is and such a huge price that Christ paid. And let us not just treat it as common. Let us not just, you know, yeah, I fornicate it, but God will forgive me. And then I'll stop for a while and do it again. And then, you know, let's not use his blood as common. It's precious. And it's with such a high price to pay. Let's not just use it and make it common. One of the things, I heard a study recently about, you know, when the Israelites were to put the blood on the doorpost so that the angel of death would pass over their house. And it says that it would make a cross, right? And I always thought, well, they didn't put it at, you know, at the bottom. They put it on the sides and on the top. But it formed of the cross. And I heard a teaching, maybe some of you guys already heard this, but they said that the blood was not put down on the floor so that it wouldn't be trampled on the foot of men. That his blood is precious. We should not trample or walk over it. We should not use his blood. And I say this coming from somebody who has. I was saved, many of you guys know, as a young girl, and walked away and didn't come back to the Lord until I was a young adult. And I knew better. And some of you guys know better. Might have been raised in the church and might have fell away, possibly just be coming back or newly, you know, or maybe surprised that you're even here at this retreat. And I would just say to you that, you know, and the Lord speaking to you, and the Lord loves you and welcomes you back, but he wants you to obey him. And by obeying him, he gives you an abundant life. You know, he gives you, you might have been out there seeking something else, and I did that, and I went out and thought, you know, I remember my saying, God must know the heart of a teenager, you know. God must know that we just have to rebel. And I would use that as my excuse, knowing that at some time when I'm older, then I'll just ask him to forgive me, and then everything will be okay. And it just hurts me now to think that I would use the Lord's blood like that, but still, he was awesome and faithful to forgive me of those things. He didn't say, I know you knew, and so forget it. You know, he was still there with his arms open wide. And what a blessing that is to know that, you know, you could come back. And now when I was talking to my daughter, an incident happened in our family of just, you know, I have a family that, you know, all the males are alcoholics, and just kind of every time you go over there, an incident is going to happen. And so anyways, there was a fight that broke out between my brother and cousins, and over, I don't know, who could drink the most tequila or something dumb, right? And I told my daughter, I was talking to her, and I said, man, you know, when you're in that lifestyle, you think you're in freedom. I could do whatever I want. I could go to sleep with whoever I want. I can drink all night. I can cuss up all that I want. I could do whatever I want. This is my life. I don't have to answer to anybody, and you live however you want. And then my family looks at me and they say, wow, how sad. You have to go to church all the time. You have to, you know, you have to say nice things. You have to be kind to people. You have to be submissive to your husband. You can't, you know, just say, I don't care. And, you know, they, you have to ask your husband if you can go to the mall with us. And, yeah, I'm going to, you know, say, okay, you know, and they just think, how sad. And I shake my head and I'm thinking, how sad for you. You're the one in bondage. You're the one who's, Satan has you right in his hands laughing and you're thinking you got it made. You are the one who's going to have to pay the price of that sinful lifestyle, because there is a price to pay. When you're in that type of lifestyle, you're not happy. When you go to bed at night, you are not happy. There's things you do when you're drunk that you regret. There's, you know, I know a lot of ladies who back in living that lifestyle have had abortions that, you know, they remember. It's empty and it's deceitful, and you're deceiving yourself into thinking that you're the one who has the fun part. You know, you see the commercials, the all that kind of stuff, like they're living the life. And I had to tell my daughter, I'm living the life. I have the life of freedom. I'm blessed. I'm happy. I'm, you know, walking in the Lord's ways is good. He gives you an abundant life. Yeah, I have, there's discipline that I need to follow. And yeah, I need to put off these things and put on these things, but it's for my own good. Those of you who are parents know this. We try to tell our kids and they try to do something else, and we're telling them do their homework, brush their teeth and all those things, because for their sakes, for their good, because you love them and you want them to have teeth when they get older, and you want them to, you know, you want good things for them. So Christ tells us these things because he knows how hurtful that sinful lifestyle is and the things that it's going to play in our mind and in our heart. And so we do away with these things that God may bless our life and give us abundant life. I know to those of you might seem like, I still don't think that that seems like a fun life. It's a blessing. It's fun. It's real, you know? You know how in the world you're it's phony? It's real. And it's a blessing. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6:9. This is one that we kind of forget of. And it says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some of you have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Okay. Well, what's bad with going to work and getting some extra money and so that my family could have this and have that and all that? And you as ladies, I just want to share with you that God could provide, and you don't have to, do not sacrifice your children or your husband for making more money. Satan goes around seeking whom he may devour, and he knows how to push your buttons, and he knows what's going to work with you. Maybe it might be some handsome guy that could just turn your head real quick. Maybe it could be making those that extra money. You know, maybe it could be, you know, whatever it is. Maybe you're the gossiper at work, you know. Maybe whatever it is, the Lord, I believe, has shown you already things that you need to deal with, things that you need to put off. And now it's just up to you whether you're going to walk in obedience. It affects all of us. There's none of us who could say like, oh, yeah, that group over there are really bad. And this group, you know, that we all have issues of the heart. We all have things that we push away, and it could be little, it could be big, it could be in the middle, but if God has revealed it, now we have to deal with it, okay? Sometimes, guys, when we do spring cleaning, like my room is like filthy right now, okay? And I need to go in, and it really needs like the whole overhaul. Like I have the flannel sheets and I want to take them off and get ready for the warm weather and put the regular cotton sheets, and I want to take out like, you know, clean out your closet really good. There's tons of things I haven't worn for a long time, and dust everything, and just really like the blinds, you know, you never want to touch the blinds or the ceiling fans and stuff like that real deep cleaning. And sometimes when we do that, it gets, you know, you're in there cleaning for about 30, 40 minutes, and you walk out to get something to drink, you come back, you go, it looks worse than when I even started. And then not until you persevere, and you go in, and then after you go and you get your drink, and you can sit on your bed, and you're like, you know, this is nice, room is clean, smells good, all that. And it's kind of like that when we deal with our heart. Sometimes we want to deal with it, and then something happens, and we just say, oh, it's just more things the Lord's revealing to me, and it's just too, and you leave it alone. Don't. Persevere. Go. Keep on going. And so that you could, okay, I'm not saying that there's ever going to be a point where like, okay, it's all perfect now, but you should be striving towards that. We are Christians, Christ-like. We should be striving, you know, for that. So don't let that deceive you as you go in there and you deal with things and more things come out and just say, forget it. I'm just going to leave it alone, and maybe next retreat I'll pick it back up again. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, deal with it. I want to end with David. David in the Bible was known as a man after God's own heart. I love David. Many of you guys know my son's name is David because through my pregnancy, I read on the life of David, and I was just fell in love with his heart and how he... just his character. But David wasn't perfect, and he had things in his own heart that he had to deal with. And he could have dealt with them, left them alone, and he hid things pretty good, and he could have left it like that, or he could have revealed it and laid it out before the Lord and got right. Many of you guys know the story of David and Bathsheba. And David, just to recap, if you don't know, David was... out one day on his rooftop. The men were out to war. David should have been out to war with them, but he stood back, and that was right there, a bad move on his part. We should never take a step back in our walk with the Lord. We should always be actively moving in devotion, prayer life, keep moving forward, because if we don't move forward, we're take that rest and that relax. And David's on his rooftop, and he sees beautiful Bathsheba bathing. David was a man. This is one part I don't like about David, but a lot of these Old Testament guys had many wives and concubines. So David, it wasn't like David, if you know, couldn't have just turned around and went and got one of his wives. But he had to have Bathsheba. So he sent his men to go get her. She came and says that David was with her sexually. And after this, some time passed, and Bathsheba sent a man to David to tell him that she was pregnant. Now, in these days, if something like that were to happen, you were stoned. You were put to death. That did not happen. So David figures, I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to hide it. And so he says, you know what? I'll have Uriah, which is Bathsheba's husband, come back from the war. And he could be with his wife, and then, you know, it's fine. They'll think that Bathsheba got pregnant from Uriah, and I'm covered. And when we cover sins, what usually happens? Pile and pile and pile. And that's what happened with David. Uriah was just such a man of honor. He came back, and he talked with David, but he did not go into the house with his wife. He said, how can I go and be with my wife when the men out there are fighting? I should be out there with them. I can't do this. And David even then tried to get him drunk and said, well, maybe if he gets a little drunk, he'll forget about those men out there and he'll want his wife and then he'll go be with his wife. Still, Uriah did not go into the house and be with his wife. So then David says, okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And never sought the Lord on this. It doesn't say in the Bible that he did. It was just, what can I do now? What can I do now to cover this and that? So then he sent for one of the men he sent Uriah with his own death sentence. He wrote a letter to one of the head men, rolled it up, sealed it with his ring, and gave it to Uriah and said, give this to, I forgot the man's name, but give it to him. The man opened it up, and basically the letter said, go into the front of the battle, put Uriah up at the front, and then push back so that Uriah would be left by himself and he would for sure be killed. And that's what happened to Uriah. So now David now has murder on top of his sins. And so he had hit it pretty well. Then Uriah died, and then he kind of became like, oh, well, look at now David's going to marry Bathsheba, this poor widow whose husband died in the war. And he kind of almost looked good out of it instead of looking at all bad. And so in Psalm 51, This is a psalm that after God sent a prophet to David to share with him, you know, to open your eyes. Sometimes you need your eyes open, like you have so many sins that you're like, is it true or is it a lie? Or, you know, kind of like that. And so it was covered so well, and he pushed it down so much that God sent a prophet to him to tell him in a story format, there was this guy, and I won't go into all that. And David says, oh, that's horrible, that's horrible. And the prophet has to say, David, that man is you. You are the one who I'm explaining this story. And right then, David dealt with it in his heart. He didn't say, well, you know what, just don't go tell anybody and leave it alone. It's my business. It's not none of your business. You don't need to worry about it. David dealt with it. And so I pray that that's what would be your hearts today, that whatever the Lord has revealed to you, whatever things that are in your heart that you need to deal with, big or small, that you would respond to David. You know, we've all sinned. It's nothing. We don't need to worry. If you've done it, you've done it. Now let's get back on track. Let's not wallow in it. Let's not feel guilty forever. Let's know it, deal with it, and walk with the Lord. In Psalm 51, and we'll close with this psalm. And I just want you to really listen to David's heart here. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me from my guilt, purify me from my sin. For I recognize my shameful deeds. They haunt me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the heart, so you can teach me to be wise in my inmost being. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me, and now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me again the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to your sinners, and they will return to you. Forgive me for the shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that I may praise you. You would not be pleased with sacrifices, or I would bring them. If I brought you a burnt offering, you would not accept it. The sacrifice you want is a broken spirit and a repentant heart, O God, you will not despise. And so I would just ask you to look this over and recognize what one of the things David says is, I recognize my shameful deeds. Recognize what they are. If you are holding guilt from past sin that you've already confessed and holding guilt, do away with that. Leave it with him. It says, give me back the joy of my salvation. When you're in sin and you're walking in that, you don't have that joy, because you're burdened down. You're pushed down with these things that are on your heart and mind, and they weigh heavy on you. And you want that joy again. You want that the joy of your salvation. And so David says, create in me now a clean heart. And some of you guys know, maybe our Sunday school teachers, of the white, pure, clean heart. And then we have the picture of the dark, dirty heart, and that's our heart. But God comes in and he cleans it up, and it's clean and as white as snow. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. Maybe your spirit's off, and it's just, you know, now it needs to be right, and it needs to be right with the Lord. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. And then it comes, I like in verse 14 and 15, it talks about, then my lips will sing, and then I will be able, then it says, then I can praise you. Sometimes, if you're hindered in your worship, there could be things going on in your heart and things. when God forgives you and those things are purged and you're clean, boy, are you able to just shout and make a joyful noise. Are you able to worship Him with all your heart? But when you have things burdening you down and holding you down, you know, it's kind of like you're thinking about it. It's in your mind. It's in your heart. You're not allowed to fully worship. And so David says, you know, forgive me, clean me for these things that I may be able to praise you, that I will go forth. And then when we're in worship, you know, we could just lay all that before the Lord. What I want to end with is the 16 and 17, which is just so awesome. Sometimes we think, especially as women, we're more doers. You know, maybe if I do this, maybe if I teach Sunday school, then, you know, God will see that, you know, I am, my heart is kind of okay. Or maybe if I do this, or maybe if I, you know, whatever it may be, you know, then everything would be okay. And David says, no, you would not be pleased with the sacrifice or burnt offering. I can't just come and just give this to you. That's not what the Lord desires. That He's not saying, ooh, wow, you brought that perfect, unblemished, wow, I'm so pleased. You know, back in the old days when they would do that for their sins. And He's not pleased with you doing good deeds and doing good works to try to show others that you're really good. God says, no. What He wants, what is it that He wants? He wants a broken spirit and a contrite heart, or a surrendered heart, a repentant heart. It says that is what you want. The sacrifice you want is a broken spirit, a broken and repentant heart. Oh God, you will not despise. So don't fool yourselves. God knows already. He sees all things. Bring it to Him. Be broken before Him. Lay it down. There was many of you guys last night just laying it down and dealing with things. And praise God. We need to lay that. We need to continue on in our walk from glory to glory. Don't stay stagnant. Don't stay where you're at. Don't be satisfied with where you're at. Examine your heart. Deal with your sin and live right for God. And train your children to do also. What I would like to do right now is, if you guys didn't notice, there in 10, 11, and 12 is a song. And I know we sang a song last night, and it was kind of funny because the Lord had put on me in reading this that we should sing this song. So we have it on the overhead. And I would just like us to sing this a cappella, and I'm afraid that I'm the one that's on the microphone and stuff back. Do you guys know this song? Okay. So I would just, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll start together and just sing this to the Lord. And then after we sing that to the Lord, as we go into our quiet time, in that time, you know, the fresh things that the Lord has stirred up in your heart, let's just deal with those. And let's be like David and say, I did this, I messed up, but your grace is great and you love me. Clean me, wash me, make me whiter than snow. Worship Him and move on in your walk with the Lord. Okay? Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank you so much for this time, Father, that you have spoken to many hearts, Father. And I just pray, Father, that you would let Satan come in and snatch away what has been put on these ladies' hearts, Father. I pray that if you have dealt with them in any way, of things that they need to put off, Father, maybe some of them have been just in this stagnant walk in their life, Father, and maybe there's issues and things that they need to do, Father. Maybe they think they're submissive to their husbands and they're not, Father, and maybe there's manipulation going on in the household, Father. Maybe there is lustful eyes looking around, Father. Maybe there's ladies here who are single but are dating and are just getting a little too close, Father. You have spoken to us from your scriptures, and we just pray, Father, that you would deal with our hearts, that we would put you first in our lives, and that we would honor you with our lives, Father. We surrender our hearts to you, Father, and we just pray, Father, that you would help us to live these lives pure and holy and acceptable to you, Father. Thank you for this time, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of our salvation, and renew our